Life's full of choices. You know, we have choices to have children. We have choices to be part of other people's lives. That choice this morning, we heard about Jessie, her baby. 32 months, right? 32 weeks, not months. That'd be a long time to carry a baby. Sorry, ladies. 32 weeks, and they take it C-section because mom has heart condition. And they're still okay. They need your prayers. Amen. But that's also a choice whether you pray or not. And that's a whole sermon in itself. You know, I'm glad that we have the visitors that we have here today. Those that are visiting, I'm glad you're here and you got to witness baptisms. What a great day to visit a church is when they're having baptisms. But today's about 2020. Welcome to 2020. You guys celebrate a new year? How many of you made New Year resolutions? You're not going to say it. You guys, your arms are all still broke. I made one or two. This time I tried to keep it a little more condensed where it wasn't, I was not able to fail as easily. But you know, I remember being close to God growing up, and this is all about new years, new beginnings. And that's what the sermon title today is. It's about new beginnings. Anybody have a new beginning in your life at some point? Yeah. Anybody need a new beginning again? Yeah. You know, after Matt's call, if you do feel like you need that new beginning, come talk to myself, Pastor Alex, one of the elders. Because we all need that. But it's all about new beginnings. And I remember, and we serve a Lord that is full of new beginnings. And that's a great thing. Because I remember growing up, I was close to God. And whether you realize it or not, when I grew up, I walked and talked with God. Like, I was probably a weird kid. I did so much of it. I lived on a farm. I had nobody else to play with other than God. I mean, it was that kind of a relationship. You walk around on 700 acres and you talk to God. It's either that or talk to the rabbits, and then people think you're weird. But I fell away from God. When I got to about teenager, you know, other things got important. You know, girls, right? Daniel's about that age. Girls, they kind of get in there. Guys for the girls. Don't worry, they're looking. Of course, then we got friends, and we got those things that begin to cloud our time. They all kind of take priority in your life. And at that time in my life, they took priority. And that was an unfortunate thing because I fell away from God. I fell away from that relationship. And I'll save you the long talk, but, you know, technically, later on in life, when I come to my senses, I come back to a relationship with God. Amen? Amen. And in rebuilding that relationship, my old life faded away again, and I became new. I became new in every way. And as I gave up my sinful life, because when I fell from God, I began to sin. I began to do all those things. And as I gave that up, I built this incredible relationship with our Father. I spent time with God. And as that relationship grew, and it grew even more, I was made new. Not renewed, but it was a new me. It was something I never was before. It wasn't something that I was when I was 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. It was something new. That meant a lot. And in that relationship, the fruits of my spirit changed to love and joy and peace and long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We're still working on that one. So I consider myself a work in process. Those were gifts of God, and those gifts in my life changed my life to something new. You know, we all stumble in our lives, whether we want to admit it or not. And thankfully, we have a God that has amazing grace. Amen?
Amen.
Because no matter how many times we fall, no matter how hard we fall, we can cling back to amazing grace that is given to us. We look at back in history, and you can look all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And when you see Adam and Eve partakes of the tree that they're told, don't touch it. Don't even look at it. And she partook of it. And then she gave to Adam and he took. And then we find that God comes to spend time with Adam and Eve again. And where's Adam and Eve? They're hiding in the bushes. Does God know what they did? Does God know they sinned? Does God know where they are? And it's incredible because the first words you see out of that is, Adam, where art thou? He calls to Adam. And I look at that and it just leaves me in amazement. He calls to Adam, where are you? God was looking to give Adam and Eve a new beginning, even though they just felt fallen. Unfortunately, they didn't take responsibility. They made a bad choice. They begin to blame, and the blame game continues even to this day. But did God give up on them? No. When we look at the great leaders in the Bible, we see wonderful things. We see all kinds of things that they accomplished. Many times we do not focus on their lives before God called them to do their thing. We just look at the glorious point of their lives. That's pretty good. I hope somebody looks at the glorious point of my life and forgets the rest of it. But Moses' story is one of the stories that we all know. And we tend to look at what Moses achieved by leading the Hebrews out of captivity and building the sanctuary and giving everything he had to God. But Moses had some problems. He was raised in let's go back. Let's see the highlights. To Moses' life, his mother floats him down a stream. Pharaoh's daughter adopts him. He's raised in a palace as pretty much a member of the royal family. And then Moses kills a guard and buries him in the desert. Well, that's a problem. Don't you think? That'd be a sin, right? Even though he kills somebody for beating a Hebrew, it's still a sin to kill. So how long did God have to work with Moses so that God could actually use him? Yeah, took a long time, didn't it? Took a long time out in the wilderness. Even as God used Moses, Moses had a few character flaws, did he not? He had anger management issues. We see that. It shows up a lot. Anger management issues were a real problem with Moses. His temper did keep him from entering the promised land, but God never gave up on that. And we know that he never gave up on Moses, even after he's not allowed to go into the promised land, because in Jude, we see Michael, the archangel, contending for the body of Moses. It was that important. And I can guarantee you it is that important for you and me at that day, too. Apparently for Moses, there was a new beginning in which God was able to use Moses. And he saved the Hebrews. And he gave them all kinds of things like we were talking this morning. We have a new translator, by the way, most of us don't know. Give up my office so Natalia can, another Natalia. Don't know how we get around that one. But she's sitting in the office and she's translating and she's doing a really good job. Takes a lot of pressure off Larissa and Ina. Couple others that translate, Adrian, I can go down the list. So it's kind of nice just to come to church, right? But we're having this conversation in the office, and we're talking about Moses. We're talking about the Torah. And Moses wrote down many of the articles that they were talking about. He began to record things. He did a lot of things in his life. God never gave up on him. Later in the Bible, we read about a young boy that slays a giant called Goliath, right? We all know that story. God raises him up to be a king. He was a glorious king, right? He never sinned in his life. Gotta laugh. Gives you hope. Because Bathsheba rolls around, and then next thing you know, he's not only committing adultery, but he's also going through the steps of, you know, committing murder. In doing all that, his house is in peril. His house is falling apart. He can't keep his home together. So did King David live a perfect life? No. No, he failed God many times. David's household was in turmoil, but yet David was a man after God's own heart. God used David to do great and wonderful things and to become such a treasure to those people. Amen. Even when we see him fight his last giant, Ishbibenob, we see them kill all the giants and tell him, David, you can't fight anymore. We cannot afford to lose you. God's beloved. So God never gave up on David. After all the sin and all the failures in David's life, there was apparently a new beginning. Probably a couple of them. You know, I look at those examples, and I look at Moses, I look at David, and Peter, and we can go down a whole list. And you know what that does? It gives me hope. Because I fell as a teenager, I guarantee you I'll fall again in my own life with my own walk. It'll happen. Because I'm human. I understand that. I do like Peter did. I take my eyes off of Jesus, and it doesn't take but a second, and you fall. But we have a Lord Jesus Christ. We have God with amazing grace that picks us back up and says, here is your new beginning. Amen. And as we read Isaiah 43:18, it says, do not remember the former things. Nor consider the things of old. In other words, put all that behind you. And he's telling this to Israel, but it applies to all of us. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make roads, a road in the wilderness, and rivers in the desert. There is no length to what God can do in your life. You know, it's fascinating. January is a fascinating month. You really look at it, it's really fascinating. Because statistics tell us that every January, January is the month where people attempt to make more changes in their lives than any other time of the year. It's January. I can't think of a better way of starting out 2020 than a couple baptisms in this church. Amen. But it's time for new beginnings. So it is fascinating. It has to do with the close of 1 year and the beginning of a brand new year. And it's time we try to start new things, right? And the vast majority of people also run headlong into the fact that they don't do very well in their New Year's resolutions. You see it all the time. You see it on your computer. You see it on TV. Don't fail in your New Year's resolution. 1995, we'll fix it. But really, when you look at that, why is that? All the people are searching for a new beginning, but how are they searching? Through resolutions, by changing their jobs, working two jobs to obtain more material, for changing things in their life, for giving up food, for doing this, for doing that. They're doing all these things. God is aware that we all need new beginnings. In fact, he granted that for us in Jesus Christ. He says, therefore, in 2 Corinthians, he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Anybody ever get in a new car? Smells a lot better than an old car, doesn't it? It's new. It is a new car. It's pretty hard to make an old car a new car, but I have seen it done. You're born again. It means to be born from above. It's a new beginning, and that beginning begins with Jesus Christ. The Greek word is that is an oathen. It's beginning from above, from a higher place, of things that come from heaven or from God. What's wrong with your New Year's resolution if it doesn't include God? It's simple. You're trying to do it on your own. You're going to fail, unfortunately. He is the only one that really makes you realize that you actually need to start over. Aren't you tired of starting over again and again and again? Think of this. How many of you have made the same resolution this year as you did before in other years? Why is that? Think of that. And you know, when I found God again, new beginnings don't happen instantly. It didn't happen overnight. It takes Jesus in your life to make it eternal. Absolutely. But God could deliver us with a snap of the fingers from whatever we face. He could deliver us immediately if he chose. Because he chooses not to for a reason. Because it is the struggle that true change, or it is through struggle that a true change really happens. The good news is that God says, I want to do something new in your life. I want to give you a fresh start, a new beginning. And this news is a major element in our Christian faith. That good news is a major element in what we believe. To start fresh and have a new beginning with God. At the beginning of the new year, it's customary for us to think of this is a new time of beginning, a time for resolutions. You know, as we look at Scripture, we begin to understand a few things. You know, with God, we don't have to wait till a new year. With God, any time is a good time to change your life. And we need to remember that. Because it's not a ship that passes us and we don't get to get back on it. It's a time, any time is a good time to spend that with Christ. In Isaiah 43, 15 through 17, it says, God overruled the affairs of men and he gave them their forefathers a new start. Thus says the Lord, who makes all things in the sea and the path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power, they shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinguished. They are quenched like a wick. God takes us to places of dependence. If you're not dependent upon God for anything, if you don't need anything from anybody, are you going to seek it? No, but God will take you there. Then he creates a new beginning, a new blessing, and he's telling you, don't look back. Don't look back. He tells us in verse 18, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. And he does it for a few reasons. Our faith is often limited by what we experience in the past. So it's one thing to remember past successes, but it's another thing to live in the past. And I talk to so many people that are stuck in the past. I don't know if God can ever see past this. I don't know if God can ever do this. I don't know if I can ever overcome that I did in my past. Our faith is often limited by what we experienced in the past, and that's a shame. Israel was where they were because of a history of failures and disobedience. And yet God says, don't look back at the past. And he makes all things new. When we come to Christ, we become a new creation. All things become new. There should be nothing in our rearview mirror. all things are new. God is the creator, the king. In Isaiah 43:15, he tells us, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the creator of Israel, your king. I am your creator. He makes things new. He is not in a box that we try to place him in. He can do in your life whatever. He can do in your life what you have never been able to do before, what has never been done before. And God is only getting started. In verse 19, it says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make the road in the wilderness, the rivers in the desert. And once God has delivered Israel by making a path through the water, now the water will make a path in the desert. God is not predictable. Don't think you can predict God. And let me explain that. He does not deliver the same way each time. He heals one way, and he may heal you a completely different way. He is not predictable. In Isaiah 43:20, we're to become a blessing to others. It says, the beast of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. You were created for God's praise. You know, why would he leave you to die in the desert when he desires you to come forth and bring him praise? We all have desert experiences. We've all been there at some point in our life. And we're usually there because we tried to do things alone. That's how we end up in that desert. But God says, I'm going to bring you water. I'm going to bring you a road through the wilderness. You're going to see your way out of this with me. And there's a few steps that we need to take in this. Step one, quit making excuses. It's easy for me to stand up here and say it. It's another for me to do it. But it's always too soon to quit. The Bible tells us to quit making excuses. Admit when it's our fault and get on with life. We can't dwell on the fact that we failed. We pick it up and make it new. You might have a resolution that you're going along fine day after day after day, and you might fall one day. Does that mean you give up on your resolution? I pray not. Pick it up and run with it again. Ask God to help you. I've discovered that people who are good at making excuses are rarely good at anything else. They spend their energy thinking up reasons why they can't do what they're supposed to do. Step two, act in faith. That's hard. New beginnings come to those who step out in faith. We see that. Moses stepped out in faith. David stepped out in faith repeatedly. Abraham stepped out in faith. New beginnings come to those who step out in faith. To change anything in your life by the power of God, it takes faith. Ellie and Emma showed faith this morning. They chose to change their lives, to surrender to God, and have faith in him that he is going to make them a new creation. Matthew 9:29 says, then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. How big is your faith? According to your faith. Something to think about as we look at a new year, as we look at our resolutions, as we look at the different things in our lives. It's kind of like what Bruce said earlier. Life's full of choices, you know it? Everything in life comes with a choice. You make a choice to wake up in the morning. You have a choice whether you're going to have a shower or a bath, or maybe you're just going to skip it. Hopefully you had one or the other. You make a choice whether you're going to come to church or not. You have choice after choice after choice that you make. You choose to go to work. You even choose what kind of work you're going to do. And there are many things every day in your life that it takes a choice to do them. This day, it's simple. You have a choice. With the new year, you have a choice. And here's the question. Do you begin new? To make a resolution, not to yourself, not to anybody else, but to God. Is this your day to make that choice? Because life is about choices. We have a choice to walk a new life with God. A walk that will last an eternity. You have a real simple choice. You can choose God and have an eternal walk, or you can choose to walk alone. It's a simple choice. But you know, there's nobody sitting to the left or right of you. There's nobody else in here today. There's nobody out here in this world that can make that choice for you, because it's your choice. Each one of us have choice. We need to exercise those choices. We need to exercise them wisely. Every day in your life, you make choices. My choices, well, they struggle with self-control. That's my New Year's resolution this year, is to try to gain more self-control through God's grace. It's going to take some work. My wife knows it ain't going to happen overnight. But we have choices to make. We have choices to make whether we're going to stand off on the side and complain, or whether we're going to come together in unity. We have choices to make. We can make them individually, and we can collectively make choices. And I would suggest that this year, especially when we're looking at a board meeting tomorrow, to make a choice to come together and to do the work of God. Because that is a good choice, to follow through and to see where God will lead us, where God will bless us. And I guarantee you, He will bless us. God put us, each one of us, in a seat today, right here, for a specific reason. And I hope God is talking to your heart, because you made a choice to be here. He's got amazing grace He wants to pour out in your life. It's your choice to accept that grace. Amen.